Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, this is God's holy word. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our fathers that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up to the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, or the stranger within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness. And he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me." That's as far as we'll read this morning in God's holy word. Well, friends, this week, as many of you know, is known in many countries as Remembrance Week. Remembrance Week. In 1917, during the First World War, Prime Minister Robert Borden announced that when the Peace Tower, that many of you know, downtown in Ottawa, when the Peace Tower was going to be built, at the base of the proposed Peace Tower, there was to be a memorial chamber. A memorial chamber. 10 years later, August 3rd, 1927, then Prince Albert Edward, later King Edward VIII, was in Ottawa, and he unveiled in that memorial chamber an altar. It was a gift from the British government. And on that stand there in the middle of the memorial chamber was placed the book of the First World War remembrance. The stones for the steps to that altar in the middle of the memorial chamber were quarried from Flanders Fields. The brass nameplates were cast from spent shell casings from the war to encourage people to remember. Now there are 7 books of remembrance in total, of those who they say have made the ultimate sacrifice in war. 7 books of remembrance. You know, as I thought about that part of our national history, if we could call any book of the Bible a book of remembrance, it would be the book of Deuteronomy. Not in the same way as those books of remembrance record the names of those who have died on Parliament Hill, but a book of remembrance nonetheless. Over 15 times in the book of Deuteronomy, there is a call to the people of God to remember, and particularly to remember the great deliverance from Egypt and out of slavery that the people had so recently received. Over and over again in Deuteronomy, they were called to recall God's power and grace displayed on their behalf for their good and their blessing. 5 times in the book of Deuteronomy, exactly the same refrain is given. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. 5 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. The book of Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance, calling the people of God to remember. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, which is the first place that those particular words are mentioned, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, in verse 15. The context, obviously, is the Ten Commandments. In the context of the Ten Commandments, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Now, the Ten Commandments are given twice in Holy Scripture. They're given in Exodus chapter 20, and also, again, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the very name Deuteronomy, which was added later to the biblical book, means literally second law. Not another law, but a second giving of the law. Moses receives the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. Now, as the people of God are about to enter the promised land, the law is repeated. It's given again. Deuteronomy, second law. And so we have the Ten Commandments here again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In particular, the context of remember that you were slaves in Egypt comes in the context of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. In Exodus chapter 20, the commandment to remember the Sabbath day is explained to keep it holy. Why? Because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. So the rationale, the reason given in Exodus 20 is creation. God's pattern in creation. He created all things out of nothing in the space of 6 days, and all very good, but God rested on the seventh day. And that set the pattern for human history, and for his people in particular. Even before sin was in the world, this 1 day in 7 pattern was established. But a different reason for the fourth commandment is given in Deuteronomy chapter 5 as the people are preparing to enter the promised land. Observe the Sabbath day, verse 12, by keeping it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. And then 6 days you are to labor. We go through until we come to verse 15. And here's the rationale. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It's another reason. It's another rationale to remember the Sabbath day according to God's command. God could simply command, and that would be enough. But he's given reasons to encourage us, to explain creation and now this great redemption out of Egypt. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Never forget, God is saying to his people, never forget what you were. Never forget how afflicted and oppressed you were. Never forget how miserable you were, how hopeless and how helpless you were. All of that, you see, is involved when he says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. But did you catch the word, the note of wonder and glory in that call to remembrance? Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. You know, we read over very quickly, but all the glory of God's salvation is wrapped up in that word and in the very tense of that word. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Not are, were. Something has happened, you see. A great change in their existence has taken place. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it. Preserve it. Guard it. Protect it. The word could be translated in verse 12. As the God-given token of salvation, observe the Sabbath day, of that transition, remembering that transition, that glorious change from slavery to freedom. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And of course, the special sign and seal of the deliverance from Egypt was the Passover. When God, according to God's command, his people, if they believed his word, were saved from slavery and death, God's avenging angel, they were saved from slavery and death under the blood of a sacrificed lamb. Right at the heart of the deliverance out of Egypt is the Passover. Saved from slavery and death under the blood of a sacrificed lamb. That was a sign and a seal of something past that was to be repeated so they wouldn't forget. But it was also a picture and pointer of something to come. Remember when John the Baptist, in the opening chapter of John's Gospel, sees Jesus coming? The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Points to Christ. The Passover points to Christ. The deliverance from Egypt and slavery and death points to Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." In light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when Jesus' work on the cross was finished and when it was shown and demonstrated to be acceptable to God, he was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. And so there is still one day in seven that is holy for God's people. Hebrews 4:9, there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. But now that one day in seven is Resurrection Day, the first day of the week, when we remember Christ's liberty, his being set at liberty from death and the grave for us and for our salvation. His resurrection from the dead is the foundation and hope of our own freedom. Freedom not from Egypt or slavery to some human king or pharaoh, but slavery to sin. Slavery to the devil. The only having the expectation and future of misery and death. But in Christ, there's freedom. Deliverance from all of that. Every Lord's Day. Resurrection Day. Every Sunday is Remembrance Day. That's what we learned from Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day. You were slaves in Egypt. But the Lord brought you out of there with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. And now in the fullness of time, Christ has come. And as those who live on the other side of the first coming of Christ and his cross, his death, his resurrection from the dead, that one day in seven, Sabbath keeping yet remains. And it comes to us in a very similar way. Remember what you were. And remember what God has done. Remember what you were. Remember you were slaves. Now, that obviously was true for the people of God. They had chains, they had miserable labor, they had taskmasters over them cracking real whips over their backs. They were slaves. I can see how they were slaves. But how does this come to us today? Remember that you were slaves. Can you say that? Can you say, remember, can you take that? Remember when I was a slave. Well, we need to understand slavery and freedom. Can it be said of you, I remember I was a slave? Jesus says in John 8:34, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Sin calls the shots. Sin says how it's going to be and when it's going to be and where it's going to be. And born into this world, we're born slaves to sin. And sin is what we do. And sometimes the slavery is so enslaving that even to say that to someone, they say, no, that's not true. The very fact that they would say that shows how enslaved they are, how their minds are given over. We're born slaves to sin. And sin brings misery. The people of God, boys and girls in Egypt, were miserable. But sin brings misery. There's often, of course, some passing pleasure in sin. Of course, or temptations wouldn't be tempting. There's some passing pleasure. The devil is a good fisherman. He knows how to hide the hook with some attractive bait. There's a hook. There always is with sin. Sooner or later, you will feel it. You will live it. The misery that sin always brings. Sin brings misery. But Jesus goes on to say, right after he says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. He says, but if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. The glorious deliverance of the people of God out of sin and out of misery and out of death by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Salvation is of the Lord. Like slaves in Egypt, a person in sin is really helpless and hopeless to save himself. If the Son sets you free. Not if you work this out yourself. Not if you just try a little harder, clean up this part of your life. Do a little better over here. If the Son sets you free, God has to do something. Jesus has to do something. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Depend on him. Turn from sin. Repent and believe. In fact, repentance and faith are the first signs of spiritual freedom. The glorious liberty of the children of God. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. May each one of us be able to say that in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That through faith in Christ, you've been set free. But here's the word to us then. Never forget. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. Never forget what you were. Never forget how afflicted and how oppressed you were. Never forget how miserable you were. Oh, we can forget misery. When we're in the misery, we think, I'm never going to forget this. But we do. When you're sick with a flu, you say, I am never going to take my health for granted. And we do. When you're in some terrible trouble, you know how much help you need, you know how miserable things are, you say, I'm never going to forget this. And you do. That's why week by week, God says to his people, remember you are slaves. Remember you are slaves. Remember the misery of sin. Remember the condemnation of sin. Don't forget it. 1 Corinthians 1:26, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. It's exactly the same point. Remember that you were slaves. That's one thing to remember. But the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Jesus has delivered us. He's delivered his people, those who trust in him. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, God, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The words here in Deuteronomy 5:15, remember you were slaves in Egypt, remind me of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. There's that same word again, that gospel word, were. That's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Remember what you were, and remember what you are by God's grace in Christ. Sin shall not be your master. That's what you were. The reigning power of sin is broken. No temptation is overtaken that's not common to man, but God will give a righteous way of escape. Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Sin is no longer your master as a believer. Remember you were slaves. Remember the Lord brought you out. To all the true children of God, you see, God says, especially every Sabbath day, that's what he says. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It's particularly to remember those two great things. Remember that you were a slave. Remember that the Lord brought you out of there. Week by week, Sunday by Sunday, especially every Sabbath day, especially those Sabbath days when we have communion together, when Jesus Christ himself has given us the tokens of redemption in his poured out blood and his broken body. And what does he say? Do this in remembrance of me. So when we come to communion, what are we to remember? Remember, you were a slave to sin and misery and death, and God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm in the work of Jesus Christ. Remember me, Jesus says. It's not just remembering our benefits, but always remembering our great benefactor, Jesus, our deliverer who has rescued us and who rescues us from the coming wrath. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Beloved, the Lord's day is so important. The Lord's day is so important. It is the barometer of our Christian lives. It is the bringer of special blessing to the people of God. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It is the bulwark against backsliding. The Sabbath day, in the remembering of what we were and of who we are. If you're not remembering the Sabbath day as God calls us to in Scripture, could it be that you've forgotten what you were? Could it be that you've forgotten the amazing grace of God in Christ? Forgotten the freedom that you enjoy as a believer comes from the same God who says, remember the Sabbath day? We are to remember what we were and who we are in Christ. But you know, there are many practical reminders and blessings every time we remember these things. That we remember that we were slaves and that God brought us out. Take some time, read through the book of Deuteronomy again and note every time there's a call to remember and notice the particular context and blessing that God connects to remembering. We've been focusing here on Deuteronomy 5. But there are great practical blessings that God holds out for his people as they remember that we were slaves and that God brought us out. Remembering overcomes fear. Remembering overcomes fear. Deuteronomy 7:17. You may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. See, it's the same thing. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt and God brought you out of there with a mighty hand. But now the particular practical application is, now whatever you're facing, you're going to face things that have the potential to make you very afraid. Don't be afraid. Remember what God did. Who is more powerful than Pharaoh? And look what God did. Remembering deliverance is the way to overcome fear. Overcoming fear. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remembering overcomes worry. Deuteronomy 8:2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. God knows how to take care of his people. He knows how to give us what we need day by day. Remember the Lord your God led you in the desert. Don't worry. So, well, I remember he did that yesterday. But what about today? And, oh, what about tomorrow? Don't worry. You remember Jesus saying that a number of times, over and over and over again in Matthew chapter 6? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. Remembering overcomes worry. Remembering overcomes disobedience. Deuteronomy 8:2 again, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Deuteronomy 11:2, remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed, the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to his old country. But it was your own eyes that saw all these things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I'm giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. The Lord brought you out of your hand. Therefore, remember to observe all that the Lord has commanded you. Doesn't Paul say in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Deliverance and salvation leads to obedience. I'm not my own. Remember, you were a slave. God brought you out. Therefore, keep his commands out of gratitude for what God has done. And positively, if you possess these qualities, Peter says in 2 Peter 1, all the qualities of faith, knowledge, and it goes on and on in that list in the first chapter. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone does not have them, you see, it's not just saying, well, I shouldn't do the things that I shouldn't do. It's also saying, what does God call me to do? The positive things of the Christian life. If anyone does not have these things, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from past sins. It's the same dynamic. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and God brought you out. So pursue the fruit of the Spirit. Pursue the virtues of the Christian life. Remembering overcomes disobedience, encourages obedience, Christlikeness. Remembering overcomes pride. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. Whatever blessing, material, spiritual that we have, remembering helps us to overcome pride. Who has made you different from anyone else? 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Anytime pride starts to come in any part of our lives, this is what we remember. Remember, I was a slave. I was a slave in Egypt, and God brought me out of there. Everything that I have is by his grace. If he hadn't done it, I'd have nothing. Nothing. It overcomes pride. Remembering overcomes ungraciousness. We're just pulling these other, there are many more that you could look at. These are just a few. Overcoming ungraciousness, Deuteronomy 15:11. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and the needy in the land. Then we read in verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I'm giving you this command today. Why are we to be open-hearted and merciful and generous to people around us, those who are poor and needy and downtrodden? Well, God says, remember, that's who you were. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. How can your heart be cold to someone else who's in trouble? You know, spiritually, how can we be unforgiving to people unless we've forgotten how much we've been forgiven? Ungraciousness is overcome by remembering. Deuteronomy 24:17, do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I'm commanding you. Generosity, graciousness, religion that God our Father accepts pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Why? Because spiritually I was an orphan. We remember who we were and what God has done. And this transforms our lives, transforms the way we interact with others. Not just materially, but spiritually as well. As we speak with unbelievers, even people mired in sometimes just horrible things that we don't even want to mention. How do you interact with someone like that? Remember, I was a slave in Egypt. This is what we're to remember, and it changes the way we interact with people. Whatever I have in Christ, whatever I have in my life, whatever blessings I have are by grace. I didn't earn them or deserve them. And I need to remember that every time I deal with someone else. When you're sitting across the table from someone whose life is just a total wreck and a total mess, And they're their worst enemies more often than not. They themselves are their worst enemies. But what do? How do you think? This is the way you start to think. I was a slave in Egypt. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. God says this is what engenders mercy in people. To remember who you were. Remember what God has done in his grace and in his power for you that you didn't deserve. So as we interact with people in the world, how can there be pride? How can there be harshness? We speak the truth in love, and people may see that as harshness, but we need to know our own heart. Is there any harshness in the way that we deal with others? Is there ever hopelessness that we have? Remember, you were a slave in Egypt, and God brought you out of there. Doesn't matter who you're looking at. You can always bring a word of hope. In Christ, there's hope. In Christ, there's hope. It doesn't matter how low someone is. In Christ, there's hope. The same grace that made you different, the same grace is sufficient to deliver any slave from any slavery to sin. Beloved, every Sunday we should be remembering these things. As we guard and keep the Sabbath as God has commanded us, the kind commandment that God uses by his grace to keep and to guard us. Remember that you were a slave and that God delivered you. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. The Sabbath day reminds us of how we ought to be living the rest of the other 6 days, but there is a word here for on the Sabbath day itself. You appreciate the rest you enjoy on the Sabbath day. Do others work so that you can rest? And God says, remember, you are slaves in Egypt. You know what it's like to work, 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 and have no rest. We want people to be able to come to worship and to hear the gospel. Are others working so that we can enjoy our rest? Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Remember Dr. James Kennedy, that I met a couple of times down in Florida, told the story. His practice for years was he'd preach the Sunday morning service, and then with his wife and family and a number of other people, they'd go to a restaurant down there in Fort Lauderdale every Sunday and enjoy a meal together. And his life revolved around evangelism and witnessing to people. He took every opportunity to witness to people. And he would witness to the people that were serving him the meal at the restaurant. Until one day a young lady was serving him. He began to speak to her about Christ and her soul. And he invited her to worship. He said, you know, you should come to church sometime. She said, you know, I'd love to. But I have to work here and serve lunch to people like you. He never went to a restaurant again the rest of his days on the Lord's Day. That's what the Lord used. I'm not giving us rules here this morning about how to keep the Lord's Day, but this is part that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. The rest that we enjoy, the blessings physically but also spiritually. We want people to come to worship. We want people to hear the gospel. That your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Beloved, Deuteronomy is a wonderful book of remembrance. But you know, there's actually a literal book of remembrance in the Bible. Do you remember where it's found? Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. This is what the people are saying. You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, even those who challenge God escape. Then in Malachi 3:16, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. May that be a book in which our names are found.